what are the main disadvantages for people with intellectual disabilities, the kind of things they face in our current healthcare system?
Look, there's a range of problems. Some of the really notable ones are healthcare staff just not putting in the time and not having the skills to communicate with people with intellectual disability. For example, often assuming that that behaviour the person is showing is just part of their disability rather than a sign that there's some really serious underlying illness. An earlier study showed that only about 30%, even in an affluent part of the world like Northern Sydney, only about 30% of health conditions were being accurately identified and properly treated for people with intellectual disability. There can also be some terrible problems with values. People in the health system, in some cases, just not seeing that a person with an intellectual disability is worth treating and their life worth saving. So there's a whole lot of fundamental barriers there to people getting the healthcare they need.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the Council for Intellectual Disability has called for a federal government inquiry. What would be the main recommendations that the council would put forward?
Look, what we're incredibly frustrated by in recent years is that health initiative after health initiative of the federal government has basically just ignored people with intellectual disability. And let me give an example of the My Health record system, which is currently coming into operation. There's been an opt-out period, quite broadly publicised, where people who don't want to have an electronic health record created for them by the Department of Health can opt out of that. Yeah. Also, you can set access controls. In other words, you can say, who would be allowed to see my records, and if there are any particularly sensitive records I don't want a health professional to see. So that's been quite widely publicised to the general community. But despite our strong advocacy, there's been negligible promotion of that opt-out period and those choices of autonomy that people with intellectual disability should be able to exercise. So that's just one of many examples of where health initiatives, which in a lot of ways are really good health initiatives, just are not accommodating and adjusting themselves to work for people with intellectual disability. So that's one of the prime things that we would want to come out of a national inquiry. Really practical recommendations about healthcare planners and systems developers can ensure that they are thinking about people with intellectual disability and meeting their needs in the way that they roll out programs.
Yeah, absolutely. So more about a focused approach rather than, I guess, a more wide general approach that kind of covers a whole lot of areas. You'd rather a focused approach, which makes a lot of sense, you would think, as well.
Oh, indeed. And other groups in the community have similar problems. I mean, far too often we see a one-size-fits-all assumption that may work pretty well for middle Australia, but doesn't work well for disadvantaged populations such as people with intellectual disability.
So you stated in the UNSW media release that we see Commonwealth health initiatives that do not consider or work for people with intellectual disabilities. You just kind of mentioned. Why do you think that still is the case, though?
Look, I think it's a range of reasons. I think it's a much more convenient approach, obviously, for health system planners and politicians to just roll out a one-size-fits-all thing. But I think there are elements of prejudice there as well. Just not really, in many cases, seeing people with intellectual disability as people of equal value with equal rights. The My Health Record thing is just a classic example. It's specifically labelled My Health Record, but it's only mine for the people who are able to make their own decisions about it and get the support they need to do so.
Yeah, definitely. You also say that in New South Wales, we have seen significant progress with funding of specialised intellectual disability health services. What can we learn and take from this for an overall Commonwealth response?
Sure. I mean, that's really good work. And thanks to Minister Hazzard and his department, and it sort of follows long advocacy by us. There's a lot of, because people with intellectual disability often have complex healthcare needs and often quite specific healthcare needs, then just like every other area of medicine, you need some specialists to back up the mainstream. So just like we have geriatricians for the specific problems of older people, paediatricians for specific problems of kids, so we need specialists in intellectual disability health. The broader lesson, and this is what we're part of the reason that we're calling on the Commonwealth to conduct an inquiry, is that what we've now seen in New South Wales is this specific acknowledgement that this is a group, a very disadvantaged group, with specific needs and requires a specific response by government. And so that's what we are now going to be looking to the political parties as they head towards the next election to commit to an inquiry to look at what's working, look at what's not working, and recommend a framework to get a national response to a bit like the Closing the Gap response to address those terrible disadvantages that people with intellectual disability are suffering in life expectancy and in avoidable deaths.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many different elements and factors that come into it as well. And I'm sure the politicians and different parties will be listening to the event you have today, the Dying for Change panel, which is running later this afternoon. Can you tell us a little bit about the Dying for Change panel, which is happening today?
Sure. I mean, what's triggered it and what's exciting is that it includes a number of us who've been working on these issues in Australia, such as Professor Julian Troller from University of New South Wales, who authored the research that you mentioned at the beginning of the segment, and myself from an advocacy point of view. It is exemplifying the leadership roles that people with intellectual disability can take. The chair of the whole panel will be a fellow called Jack Kelly, who's one of our leaders with intellectual disability from my organisation. There are three British experts from different perspectives who are here for the Australian Society for Intellectual Disability Conference, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, and they're going to provide some really valuable British insights into similar problems there, but some initiatives that have been taken in Britain which are biting away at the problem. And so, for example, the National Health Service in Britain has recently made people with intellectual disability one of their priority groups for their next long-term plan.
Oh, wow, okay. I'm sure it's going to be very interesting to see their take on the situation, so to call it, and I guess all the other speakers as well. It's going to be very interesting to see what they have to say and what you get out of this afternoon as well. So thank you so much today for joining us, Jim. It was really interesting to chat, and good luck with the Dying for Change panel tonight.
Many thanks. Thanks for having me.